If you will, please take your Bible and look to Psalm 3. And as you are, I'd like to welcome you to this time. When my wife, Anne, is often going through a difficult time, and it's just become wearisome to her, she'll sit down and she'll say, "It's just all too much for me." When we look to Psalm 3, we see a time in David's life when it was just all too much for him. He was surrounded by foes on every side, and even though he was a great warrior, the attacks of his foes were just too much for him to handle. And the Bible reveals that if you are a believer, you have at least three foes. What are these? One is the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." A second foe every believer has is what the Bible calls the world, which is under the devil's influence. John in 1 John 5:19 wrote that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And Jesus said to his disciples that if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And a third foe of every believer is our own sin nature, often called the flesh. In the New Testament, Paul wrote, "Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." And the flesh is those sinful desires in every area of our lives that run contrary to God. David gave in to his fleshly sinful desires and gave his foes an opportunity to rise up against him. And these foes of believers may arise in our lives, when we make mistakes or sin like David did, or they may arise when we do what is right, such as in the case of Job or Daniel. Either way, believers must know that these enemies are constantly seeking the demise of every believer. David prayed the prayer of Psalm 3 when his foes had risen against him. And I'm sure that when he prayed this prayer, he wasn't thinking about us in our day. And yet, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote that the scriptures all of the scriptures are profitable for teaching and training in righteousness. So what can we learn from David in this prayer? While we do not know for certain what the word Selah means, it often separates the sections within a psalm, and it does here as well. We're going to look at what we can learn from David and his foes in verses 1 and 2. We're going to look at what we can learn from David and his focus in verses 3 and 4. We will look at what we can learn from David and his fearlessness in verses 5 and 6. And we will look at what we can learn from David and his faith in verses 7 and 8. So if you will, look with me to Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people, Selah. So what can we learn from David and his foes? We must recognize, first of all, that our foes are real. David didn't bury his head and say that this wasn't happening or act as if he could just go on with things because these foes were heavy upon him and the sheer number of them were crushing him and they were multiplying. And he's describing a feeling of being overwhelmed and helpless in the face of this onslaught. You may be feeling this way, besieged, overwhelmed, and helpless. A lot of people these days are feeling just those things in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, economic uncertainty, social unrest, strife, divisiveness, and isolation. That is not to mention the other challenges in our own personal lives and relationships. We too need to recognize our weakness. As Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But the Bible doesn't teach that God helps themselves. Rather, it teaches God helps those who cannot help themselves. Isaiah proclaimed that the Lord is a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, and a shade from heat, in Isaiah 25, 4. The second thing we must recognize is the lie our foes tell us. Notice their lie here. They say here at the end of verse 2, there is no deliverance for him in God. Our foes want our sense of helplessness to turn into hopelessness. And that is why we put our focus on the Lord. And where we put our focus is so important. And so what can we learn from David and his focus? Notice verse 3, but you, O Lord. This little phrase shows the shift in David's focus. David recognized his foes were real, but he turned his focus to the Lord and realized he was not hopeless after all. You see, your understanding and perception of God indicates more about how you think and live your life more than anything else. Let me repeat that. Your understanding and perception of God indicates more about how you think and live your life more than anything else. When David looked to the Lord, what did he see? David saw his protector. Notice he says in verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. I grew up in Ohio, and it's very much, I would call, a football state. A lot of football and a lot of football fans. And I grew up being a football fan. And I heard a story about a football coach that caught my attention. He was talking to a friend of his about the kind of players he wanted playing on his team. And the coach told his friend, he says, there's a situation where a player gets knocked down and he doesn't get up. And the friend said, well, you don't want him on your team. And then the coach went on and said, then there's that player who gets knocked down two or three times and gets up each of those times, but after that, he's not able to get up. And the friend said, well, you don't want him either. And continuing, the coach said, well, then there's the situation when a guy keeps getting knocked down over and over and over, but every time he gets up. And the friend said, that's the guy you want on your team. And the coach said, no, I don't want him either. I want the guy that's knocking everybody down. Well, it may be that you feel like in life that you're being always knocked down. But you need to remember that if you are a believer, you have a shield. And that shield is the Lord. And he will protect you from those who would knock you down. We must not forget this truth about our Lord. Also, David saw the Lord's glory. He says, but you, O Lord, are my glory. David remembered the vastness, the splendor, the majesty, the power of his God over all creation. Everything pales in light of God's glory. David was telling the Lord that the Lord mattered more to him than anything else. David realized the believer's victory is in the Lord, and we must remember this truth. Also, David, when he looked to the Lord, he saw his restorer. He says, but you, O Lord, are the one who lifts my head. When it's all too much for you and your head is hanging low, the Lord is the one who will restore you and lift up your head. It is this God, his Lord, who David cried out to, and it is this God, his Lord, who answered his prayer. And as a result of this, we see David's fearlessness. So what can we learn from David and his fearlessness? Well, look with me to verses 5 and 6. He says, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Before he was experiencing panic, now he's experiencing peace. Before he was fearful, but now he is fearless. Why? Because he shifted his focus to the Lord and prayed. When he did, he was able to rest. Why? Because he recognized that it was the Lord who sustained him. This means the Lord was his support. We must learn to lean on the Lord for support when life becomes too much for us. Are you resting on the Lord's support? Or are you anxious because you're trusting in someone or something else to protect you from your adversaries? Paul wrote these words in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thinking rightly about who God is and taking our concerns to God will give us a proper perspective and a perfect peace. So what can we learn from David and his faith? We can trust in the God who has already saved us to continue to save us. David remembers how completely crushed his enemies were by God when God had saved him in the past. Look at verse 7. He says, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. If you're a believer, have you forgotten how God, through Christ Jesus, has saved you? Paul wrote in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. When the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, he continues to save us and will always save us. That's why as we understand the teaching of what is justification and we think about salvation and all that's involved with that, we have been justified, we have been saved in the past tense, but we are being sanctified, we are being saved in the present tense and being made more like Christ. And we will be someday glorified when we see our Savior face to face, and we will be made completely like him, complete and pure and right as he created us to be in Christ Jesus. And so salvation, as we look at the God who has saved us, we can trust the God who has saved us to save us now and to save us eternally in the future, and trust in this salvation. And so when we look at David and his prayer, he remembered how God had saved him in the past, and it was that gave him hope and strength in the present and for the future. We too must do the same thing. We need to remember what God has done in Christ to save us, and how he saved us, and that this God who has committed himself to us will complete the work that he has begun in us, and that he will continue to work in our lives and protect us. He will not take us in to throw us away. And he is faithful in all things. This is the God who David prayed to. And this is the God whom we pray to and whom we serve. Also, we notice here, he says, as he concludes, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is the blessing of God upon his people. It is his salvation. The lie is that we are hopeless. Yes, we may be helpless and we may be weak, but we must remember that we are not hopeless because we have a Savior, and this Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we can trust in him completely. And the question I have for you this morning is this: are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation in the present and for your future? Because as David prayed this prayer, this is our prayer as well, that when it seems all too much for us, and often it really is, we can look to our God, who is our shield, who is our glory, who is the lifter of our head, and we can look to him and his salvation and trust that he who has saved us will save us, and our future is sure in a salvation for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the truth of it, the recognition that there are times in our lives when it does feel like it's just all too much for us. And yet, Father, we thank you that when we look to you, we look to our shield and protector. We look to the one who is our glory, the one who means more to us than anyone or anything else in this world, the one who is worthy of all praise. We look to you, who is the lifter of our head, that when we see you, we realize that we are not alone and that we share in this victory because we are in Christ and we can trust you for help in times of need. Father, I pray that we would stand tall in the face of difficulties and do like David did and say, salvation is of the Lord. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.